I love the idea of starting small and making a big impact small in my community, in my circle of friends, in my, you know, small women-owned business community, you know, my groups, my coaching groups, things like that. I love the idea of having an impact on those specific people and those specific small circles, knowing that it ripples out from there. It feels less watered down and it feels more true to who I am if I am engaging with people deeply instead of engaging broadly.
Hey everyone, this is Ashley Menzies Babatunde, your host and resident storyteller, and welcome to another episode of No Straight Path, the highs, the lows, and the lessons learned. No Straight Path is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. And we are digging into the human stories behind success. And my hope, as always, is that you leave this conversation inspired, motivated, and excited about your journey. All right, friends, we are continuing the Kickstarter for the podcast year anniversary. So we are crowdfunding for year two of No Straight Path. And if this podcast has added value to your life, please consider supporting the cause, donating to the cause, and share it with your network. You can find the link in the show notes. We want to keep this show going, and I just appreciate all of your support thus far. All right, today we have a wonderful guest, an early listener of the podcast, Laura Lynn Herrig. She is an entrepreneur, brand photographer, and strategist on a mission to help small business owners with their photography and marketing. And we are definitely aligned in our values. She believes that women don't have to be permanently attached to their desk and their business to be successful. Laura Lynn has grown her business slowly over the course of over 13 years and shifted her mindset from never enough to enough. She has seen friends and other women push themselves to the point of breaking their health and family life suffering to sustain a business that had total control over them. And she helps women avoid burnout by handling the photography and brand strategy for their business. They can outsource to her. And I just love her mission. There's so many ways to be successful. And in the age of social media, there's often this focus on people going viral and growing relatively quickly and having a large brand. But there's also value in growing slowly and sustainably, having just enough clients to bring in the money you need to live the life you want, and having a smaller but deeper impact on the community around you. And we dig into these topics in this episode, and you'll see a huge overlap in some of the lessons I learned in my year in podcasting, which I shared on the last episode, and the advice that Laura Lynn shares in our conversation. This is a good one with great practical advice, so let's get to it. Hi, Laura Lynn. Thank you so much for coming on No Straight Path. I'm just so excited to dig into your story. It's been a long time coming. We connected early on. You were one of the early listeners, which makes me so happy that you're here and we get to dig in. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ashley. I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So you know the drill. I want to start from the beginning. I'd love to learn about who you were growing up, your childhood, your parents, your family, and then perhaps some of those characteristics and attributes that your family would use to describe you, so we can see how little Laura Lynn shows up in who you are today.
Sure, absolutely. So I am, if you can't tell from my accent, born and raised in the Midwest in Wisconsin. Really, like, I had a very happy childhood, kind of grew up in the middle of nowhere in the country, like a very rural area. And I have three sisters. So for us, it was just like the outside was our playground. We just went everywhere, did whatever we wanted. And it was different, you know, growing up in the 90s to be a 90s kid. You know, there was a lot of just like exploration and independence that I think my sisters and I all loved, you know, just hanging out with the neighborhood kids and playing and spending lots of time outside. So, I mean, truthfully, I had a very happy childhood. My parents are still married to this day, very supportive of all of us kids. And my sisters and I all kind of like did separate things career-wise, but have always had, you know, encouragement from my parents. I feel like, you know, as I was growing into being a teen, I felt like pulled towards many different things. So I wasn't really sure, you know, until I got to college what I even wanted to do, because, you know, like a lot of kids, I had many interests, animals, and, you know, I loved architecture, but I also was like, maybe I want to work with animals, but I also love creative pursuits. So it was a little bit hard for high school me to narrow down what I wanted to do with my life, right? You always get into that certain age where all the adults are asking you or teachers are asking you, what do you want to do with your life? And I didn't really have a clear answer. I don't know how that was for you too, but I feel like just ask me on a different day and I'll have a different answer kind of thing, which again is a little tricky when you're trying to decide what to go to college for and what you want to study and what you want to do with your life. So yeah, I felt pulled in a few different directions, but I really, my parents, I guess a little bit of background, my mom went to school for art and she's a very talented artist. And my dad was an engineer. They're both retired now, but you know, so having that very left brain parent and that very right brain parent, and again, they were always supportive and wonderful growing up, but I did feel like I had a sense of kind of that perfectionism instilled in me, as well as I felt probably more internal than external, but pressure to financially support myself, be independent, you know, rely on myself and my skills. So one thing that kind of stuck with me was that my mom encouraged me, since she went to school for an art degree, she said, just make sure you get a practical degree. It's great if you enjoy art and things like that, but make sure you get a practical degree. And I thought, well, what does that mean? You know, you can make a career out of anything, was my mindset. But my mom was just, you know, encouraging to make sure that I had a stable foundation, I guess, really.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, that's a lot of parents, and it makes sense. They want you to have stability, to be safe, to be happy, and not to really worry about the next paycheck. So it's certainly something that we understand in our generation. And but simultaneously, there's other paths. And I know that you took a different one, which is exciting. Can you tell us about your entrepreneurial journey? You know, what led you on this trajectory to actually have this creative pursuit?
Sure. Yeah. So I actually started my business when I was still in college, you know, getting my degree. I went to University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and got my degree in graphic design. And I knew that through different classes that I took and just like practicing on my own that I really loved photography. So I thought, well, why should I have to wait till I'm done with college? If I want to start my business in college, I will. So I did. It was 13 years ago already in 2010 that I just decided, well, what's holding me back? I can just start this business. I don't have to have a ton of clients. I don't have to have it all figured out. So that's what I did. I started my business doing wedding photography, actually. And I worked a corporate job as soon as I graduated, you know, got wanted that stability and that kind of like side of me that wanted to have a plan. That type A side of me was like, okay, well, you can build your business on the side while you're working a corporate job. So I did that for several years, I think almost 8 years, did that on the side. But I started out in weddings. And then in 2015, really started to transition my photography brand to focus on commercial and brand photography for women business owners and women entrepreneurs. So I really felt excited and kind of fell into it, I don't want to say by accident, but just kind of by circumstance, that I had a friend from college who was a life coach. And she reached out to me and said, look, I know this is not a wedding, it's something very different than what you do, but would you be willing to come and photograph me so that I have marketing photos for my email list and for my, you know, she was very ahead of her time. I think she was already doing an email list at that time, which I think was pretty early on in the email game. So yeah, she wanted marketing photos for social media and for her email marketing. And she wanted things that she owned instead of looking for stock photos, which I feel is how a lot of people, of course, start. So, or a lot of businesses, right? Like they kind of get going with some stock photos. And she didn't want that anymore. So she said, will you come photograph me? And I was like, of course, this sounds amazing. So I had so much fun and so much passion for helping other women in business and helping them, you know, with that part of their business that if you don't have experience in photography or you don't have time to DIY everything. Like, what do you do? So I did. I kind of fell into that because of a friend that asked me, and that was 8 years ago already. Yeah. So 2015. Yeah.
I love when you are pouring into your passions and doing work that's aligned with who you are. Different opportunities will come your way, and then perhaps even change your trajectory for the better. So I love that so much. Can you tell us about a challenging time in your journey and how you were able to overcome it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to pick one, just teasing, but you know, the entrepreneurial journey is anything but a straight path, hence your podcast. But I felt like there were many kind of twists and turns. And one of those for me was that moment of tension and moment of a big decision of when to leave my full-time job and take my business, my photography business, full-time. So that was, you know, I ran my numbers. Again, as much as I said, I don't like math and science and that sort of thing, like those technical aspects, I knew that I needed to know my numbers and I knew that I needed to feel comfortable to make that leap. So I said, you know, once I have the numbers figured out, once things look good on paper and I have a clear plan, then I'll be ready to leave my job. And of course, inevitably, like it was a few years after that, even that I finally just got up the courage to leave my full-time position. So I feel like that was definitely one of the turning points in my entrepreneurial journey, because for me, I knew that I wanted to eventually take my business full time. And that's not for everyone. Some people love to have their job remain or their side hustle remain their side hustle, and they know they don't want to do it full time. But for me, I did know that was a goal, that I wanted to work for myself full time. So that was 5 years ago already in 2018 that I left my corporate job and was, you know, photographing weddings and brands and working my full-time job. And I just felt like it kind of got to a point where there was kind of no turning back. I didn't want to lessen my photography load and my photography clients, but I also didn't want to take on more at my work. And I knew that if I was doing any more client work, I would not be doing a good job at my corporate job because I just wouldn't be focused. So I think that was a big turning point. Yeah, a big turning point for me that I knew I had to pick one or the other kind of thing. Like, I shouldn't say it, I had to pick one or the other. I felt called to leave my full-time job, and I felt that it was time to just make that decision because I could carry on doing both for a while if I really wanted to, but I thought, why? I no longer felt filled up in my corporate job. It was, you know, it was a stressful work environment and it was not a very healthy one. So it was at that time too that I was, you know, in a bad relationship and in a relationship that was not a fit for either of us. So it was a pretty crazy few months that I left my job, got a divorce, you know, and just those two huge breakups all at once, right? Like, it was breaking up with my job and then breaking up my marriage. And it was really tough. I'll be honest with you. Like, looking back at it, I felt like it was just what I needed to do. And it was what felt right in my gut in order to be able to move forward in career and my life. But looking back, I'm like, wow, that was a lot to try to do within a few months span. That was a little bit crazy, but hindsight is 2020.
Yeah, no, that is. Thank you so much for sharing that, because it's a huge shift in your personal and your professional life at the same time. And you're taking a leap of faith. That is really tough. I'm curious about the lessons learned from that particular time in your journey. If someone else is in a similar situation, you know, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate, I'm very happy now, or very grateful now that I have a very happy marriage. You know, I found my person. It was wonderful. But, you know, I feel like just making sure that you're not settling. And I don't want to say that in a bad way, because there's something to be said for contentment. But I think if you feel that you're playing small, you're not in the right supportive environment, whether that's a marriage or work environment, like if you're not feeling supported and fulfilled, what are you working for, kind of thing? So I think that, like, it's never a bad thing to reassess as you go along. Do I feel supported? Do I feel fulfilled? Even if you've chosen a career and a degree and a path, it doesn't mean that you cannot change your mind or cannot go somewhere else, can't move on and do things differently, right? We're all growing and evolving all the time. And I think that to feel like just because this is what I've chosen, that this is what I have to stick with, especially with a career path, like there is always opportunity to expand things and change and grow. And I think if we kind of pigeonhole ourselves too early on in our lives or think that there's this, you know, a magic age of once I reach this age, I can't change where I'm headed. Like, this is just who I am now. And, you know, obviously you have to approach that more carefully with a marriage and a relationship. It's not to me the same level as leaving a corporate job, but same though, you have to feel supported, fulfilled, healthy in your relationship. Otherwise, all of that's going to kind of blend together in with your professional life. And if you're struggling in one, it shows up in the other.
I agree. Such wise words. And yes, I saw, I think, some of your wedding photos and everything. I'm just so happy for you.
Thank you.
The beautiful journey. So yeah.
Thank you.
First off, I just love your website and just the work that you're doing and just the language that you use around building a very sustainable business. And I'm curious about how you actually do it. Like, how do you grow sustainably, effectively, while also avoiding burnout? Because it seems like that's a theme on your website. And so I'm curious.
Absolutely. So to me, it kind of comes down to like five major principles. The first kind of big principle to me is creating and defining your own version of success. That I feel like is one of the first steps in creating a sustainable business, right? You don't just want a business that's going to be great for a couple of years and then burns you out. So the second point of that too, being setting those boundaries. That was something that it took me a little bit, but I learned pretty early on was something that allowed me to be in it for the long haul. You know, setting those boundaries, knowing that I wanted to niche into or be very specific about working in a specific style of photography or, you know, whatever that is for your industry. If you know more specifically, what type of clients you want to work with, what type of products you want to create, and then setting boundaries to really support yourself to be specific in your creation process. But the third thing that I think is really, really important that a lot of people starting their own business don't get into business because they love is knowing your numbers. So to me, that sustainability comes when you know and understand your numbers, even if you're not a numbers person or money doesn't motivate you. That's okay, but it's not okay and it's not cool to just ignore your numbers because they're not going anywhere. You know, they're not going away and that kind of responsibility isn't going anywhere. And it's on you if you are a solo business owner or solo entrepreneur. That is something that's really important, or surrounding yourself with a team of, you know, a CPA or a financial specialist, like somebody that can help you manage your money and know your numbers. You need to have that type of organization in your business. Otherwise, you know, you just maybe have an expensive hobby if you are not bringing in much revenue, but you're spending a lot, or you have a lot of business expenses and overhead. So it's not that you need to be super profitable from the beginning, but you do need to know your numbers and you're going to go a lot further and your business is going to have much more longevity if you are okay with and on board with knowing that this is something that even if it's not a strong point for me, even if it's not why I started my business, I need to buckle down and get serious about staying on top of. So to me, that's kind of like the third big thing that spells out sustainability, sustainable business, you know, longevity in your business.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that.
And it's not the sexy part of your business, right? That's not why you started it. Most people aren't motivated by that part of it. Maybe they're thinking, yeah, I want financial stability and I want to support myself or my family or whatever that looks like. But it's not the fun part. It's not why most people start their business, but it is something that is super crucial. And you'll figure that out pretty quickly, I think, especially as you start your business and as it starts to grow a little bit. If you don't have a handle on the numbers side of things, like things can go sideways very quickly. And yeah, it just helps reduce the stress in your business to produce results. If you also know, okay, well, what is the sustainable amount of time that I can work and what is a sustainable amount of revenue that I need to bring in instead of just going all out in panic mode because you feel like, oh, my numbers might not be good. I need to just get going and find more clients or sell more products. Like if you are on top of your numbers, it allows you to run your business from a place of calm and, you know, passion instead of panic and franticness.
Love that.
So for me, again, that has been like a huge part of it. But I guess the last two pieces for sustainability, you know, in thinking of sustainability for your business is to find and hire your team. So even if you are a solopreneur or have just a very small team, you need to be okay with surrounding yourself with people that can help you get where you want to go, right? So if you are running your business, but you are not a bookkeeper, or you are not the graphic designer for your business or the marketing team, it's great to find those people to come alongside you and help you, because why you started your business usually has nothing to do with, oh, I love to wear all the hats. I need to be doing all the things. No, that is usually not the case. So it's great to think about as soon as you can, outsourcing some of those tasks, you know, hiring somebody to help you, even if it's just very part-time or a virtual assistant. It's so important to feel that support in terms of a team and those tasks that you can have help with your weaknesses, right? So that you can spend more time in your zone of genius to bring along that supportive team or that supportive system that can help you in that way, right? They can take care of the things that you have no interest or no knowledge in, especially when you're thinking about financial experts or the marketing experts. Like, that's what they do and that's what they love, just like you love creating the content in your business that you started your business for, right? So helping yourself, right? Like, let them help you, basically. So I think surrounding yourself with that team is important.
Yeah, no. I love that so much. I think that's spot on. It's something I'm certainly recognizing in my own journey because I started the podcast based on my passion for storytelling, but I am not a marketer. And so having outside support has been extremely helpful because I also recognize something else about myself that I didn't know previously, and that's that I don't like marketing. I know that that is very sexy to a lot of other people, but it's actually something that's not that fun for me. And it took this journey to kind of recognize that and learn that. And so it's good to figure out the things that you don't love doing, the things that perhaps might feel a bit draining, and when possible to outsource them. And there will be a time where you might be doing a lot of that work that you don't love doing, especially in the beginning. I'm taking on things that I certainly don't love, and that's fine. But I think that figuring that out has helped me figure out what do I really need to outsource. And what can I do on my own? And even just at home, I feel like it kind of also translates to my home life. Like, I love doing laundry, so I'll probably never outsource that. But I don't like cleaning the bathroom, so I outsource that. So
it's so true. I mean, that is something that you can apply to personal life or your business life. And it might take you a while to figure out some of those things, but some of those things that you know, like you love doing laundry, that's amazing. That is something that, you know, we're all going to have those different things that we do enjoy doing, but it's important, I think, especially in your business, but also your personal life, to identify those things that you don't enjoy doing and are also not good at, things that you can outsource and have somebody come alongside you, and that's their personal passion. So, you know, just finding those right people to support you is great. And I think kind of just, if I may say just like one last thing that I wanted to point out too about like creating that sustainability in your business is you'll have probably multiple ideas and multiple things that you want to pursue. But I just want to, I guess, put out there that it's okay to keep a hobby a hobby. You know, if you find something that you love doing, you know, whether it's like knitting or you love to make music or cook or paint, it doesn't mean you need to monetize all of those interests that you have. I know there's a lot of pressure these days to like monetize this or turn this into passive income. And that's great. There is a time and place for that. But it's also okay to just have those creative outlets be your creative outlets and be the way that you get creative and maybe get out of your head and you just find your flow. You don't have to monetize it just because you've discovered something that you have an interest in or have a hobby. It's great to have those things. And I think that everyone should have that creative outlet. It doesn't have to be anything productive. It can be reading or resting or, you know, journaling, anything like that. But you don't have to monetize all of that. It's going to be something that you have to be strategic about. And it might take you some time to figure out, okay, what are those things in my business that I'm an expert at and I can, you know, monetize, I can make that part of my business plan or, you know, the way that I operate my business. And what are the things that it's just completely fine to leave out? Those are just for me interests and hobbies.
I love that. Another one. You do not need to monetize your hobbies because they won't feel like hobbies anymore. They will feel like work. And yes, something definitely a lesson I've been learning, or even if you're not even monetization, but when it comes to dancing for me, I think I've shared this story before, just doing an organized dance where I had to follow steps and perform, just it felt less fulfilling when, as opposed to just doing a freestyle in my living room or at a wedding on the dance floor. So I love that. Keep a hobby a hobby. I am curious just about purpose. It's something I've been delving into recently. And so I wanted to know, have you defined your life's purpose, professional purpose, personal? It might be all in one, but can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, of course there's overlap, but I think to define like professional purpose is definitely long-term, like to help and support women in growing their business. I love to feel like I'm part of their team, right? So we as women already take on so much and play so many parts and fill so many roles that it just lights me up and is a professional passion of mine. And I feel my purpose to support other women in the ways that I am gifted in, and that's photography and video. So I think for me, that definitely comes down to though, like the root of it, at the heart of it, is supporting other women and helping them feel that confidence and consistency in their business and just being that presence that they can count on when they're not sure where to move with their marketing, that sort of thing. Does that make sense? Like providing support for women in some of those areas that are not their strength or their passion. They probably aren't, a lot of my clients are not very excited about marketing. They maybe haven't had any good experiences with, you know, someone who is creative and is also consistent and helpful and calming and all of those things that they need to support their business growth and the visuals and the brand identity. So I love to be that support for women, and women specifically. I just feel like my purpose is to help women and female identifying people.
I love that. And do you have a life's purpose?
Yeah, that's a bigger one. I think like the life, yeah, but it's great to think about, right? And revisit. And it probably will change over time. It has obviously changed as my journey has progressed, but I think in terms of like a life purpose and personal purpose, I mean, I hear this word a lot lately, just having that impact. But for me, I want the impact to start small and grow from there. And what I mean by that is I want to impact people in my own circle and in my own community. And I want to have that because I'm much more of a quality over quantity person. I, you know, value quality time and I value more interaction in small situations. So meaning like small groups make me more comfortable, basically. I get uncomfortable when I think of like a large platform. It's intimidating to me. So anyways, that's maybe just like playing on some of my own personal insecurities. But I love the idea of starting small and making a big impact small in my community, in my circle of friends, in my, you know, small women-owned business community, you know, my groups, my coaching groups, things like that. I love the idea of having an impact on those specific people and those specific small circles, knowing that it ripples out from there. It feels less watered down and it feels more true to who I am if I'm engaging with people deeply instead of engaging broadly. So to me, like that support in small circles in my tight-knit community and those situations, like that to me is more inspiring and exciting than having a reach of millions or something like that, where I feel like the messaging is going to be more watered down and people maybe don't feel like they know me very well. So all that to say, like when I meet people, I like to go deep fast. I'm not a small talk person. Maybe that's weird, but it makes me uncomfortable. I want to really feel like I'm getting to know people and diving right in. I'm not really about like surface interactions or knowing people on the surface. Like I want to know them. So I know that that is maybe kind of intimidating to people. But to me, I think my purpose is more so when I connect with someone to connect deeply. And that's going to be fewer people for me because that's, as an introvert, that takes a lot of energy. But I'd rather know fewer people on a deeper level than knowing lots of people and having a large impact on a very surface level.
Wow. Another one where we're just, there's a big overlap there as well. Deep connection, I think, is so important. It's one of my love languages is quality time. And so I just love that. I love that self-awareness. And I think that it's also really ties back to how you define success, right? The level of impact and the way you impact is just, I think, a little bit different than how we've traditionally defined success, right? A lot of people want this to touch as many people as possible. Those are the people that we feature on the magazines and on TV and things of that nature. They might do a small town story on this person who's had a small impact on their community on a local news story. But I love that we can kind of change this narrative a little bit. Like, I think that that kind of impact that you aim to have on the people in your community is just as powerful. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Do you have a question that you ask people when you're trying to deeply connect, or a style of how you deeply connect with someone? Because you said that you don't like small talk, and I'm the same way. And sometimes I get totally shut down and it's fine. But more times than not, people are pretty open with their stories. And I think because I have this podcast, it's a really easy way for me to segue into a deep conversation with someone, because I say this is what I'm doing and I go into people's journeys. So I'm able to get lots of different cool stories now. But before that, I didn't really have a specific question. Any advice for people who want to deeply connect with others they've just met?
That is a really great question. So it definitely varies depending on who I'm talking to and kind of just the energy that I'm sensing. And, you know, if I've had a few minutes to talk with them, or if we're really just diving in right away. It's different if I meet someone at an entrepreneur event, or if I'm just meeting them at, you know, the park down the street, that sort of thing. But for me, especially if I know they're an entrepreneur or they have entrepreneurial tendencies or things like that, I love to ask people one thing in specific. I love to ask them, what's making you excited lately? Like, what kind of helps you jump out of bed in the morning, if you like that analogy? But, you know, what are you excited about? What lights you up right now? And I love that question too, because there's room for, oh, you know, in the past it was this, but like right now, you know, people get excited, I think, to think in the here and now instead of, a lot of questions are future thinking, and that's great, like the future looking questions. But I think it's more important sometimes to support people and help them feel heard in what are you excited about right now?
I love that question. I'm going to start using it. And I think you can use it in any setting. It doesn't even have to be entrepreneurial. I remember asking that question at my husband's holiday party. And it was great. I was like, what is your passion? That's what I said. And people were taken aback at first a little bit, but then I got to know all about someone's rock climbing passion and someone's car collection. And so, but I like that. What is making you excited right now? Because also passion, it puts pressure on people to feel like they have to have a passion, and not everyone has to have a passion, but everybody has an interest. Everybody is excited about something, and it doesn't have to be professional.
Yeah, that's very true. And again, like, that's why I like to phrase it that way, because you're not asking them, you know, what do you do for your job? Or what are your plans for 5 years from now? You know, I feel like it's less of a pressured question, more of a, you know, you're not even asking hobbies, you're leaving it open for them to interpret, right? So that can be a hobby that they've been working on, or an interest, or it can just be like, I'm really excited because my kid has this thing coming up that we're doing together, and that's awesome. Or my spouse is doing this, or, you know, whatever. I love how open for interpretation it is.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. All right. So do you have any final thoughts to leave with the audience?
I think that just the thought of being persistent and keeping with something, stick with it. You know, if you have something that is a passion of yours, or something that you're starting as a side business that you're just very excited about, stick with it. You know, the overnight success idea is a myth. I think that's been proven many times that there is no such thing. It's about putting in the work and putting in the time. So don't get discouraged if something doesn't take off in a week, just because you've had a great idea and it doesn't gain traction in a week or a month. Don't give up on it. If it's something you're excited about, if you put in the work and put in the time and are consistent, you're going to see some growth and you're going to see some success from that. So don't get too discouraged. Just keep going.
Thank you for listening to another episode of No Straight Path, the highs, the lows, and the lessons learned. Remember to share the podcast with friends and family. And my hope is that these stories help you navigate your No Straight Path journey. If this content is adding value to your life, and I hope it is, please take a few minutes out of your day to rate the show and write a review. You can click the link in the show notes to write a review. It helps other listeners find the show, and I just really appreciate it. Have a lovely week, embrace the journey, and remember, you're not alone.